Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hey, Bruce, you've got some, oh, now it's gone. You had some interference in the background, but it's no longer there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot to send out an alert.
Alert for what?
For the call.
No, I sent it out a couple days ago.
You did? I didn't get it. I
You
mean,
did?
no, an alert to Daniel to send out to the membership. Yep. My bad. Well, sometimes I need a reminder. Hey, there's too much going on. I can't keep up.
Well, that's why we got so many people on the board.
Yeah, who's taking minutes? Me. No, there's too much for. Oh, what happened?
Don't know.
Oh, that's what happened. Now I'm looking for a document. Hello.
Hello, Amy. This is Robin Reed.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, this is Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Yeah.
It sounded like Bruce.
Yes, indeed.
How you doing, Bruce?
Doing pretty good,
Pretty
actually.
good.
Thank you. Yeah.
All righty. Who else we got on the phone tonight?
You sound wide awake.
I'm not doing well. I'm not doing good at all. I haven't been getting any sleep. I probably should have had my surgery last month.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. But I'm here.
Right, I'm trying to get the minutes. Oh. Sorry.
Think
Too much
anybody's
going on
read
at one
them, so I
time.
guess we won't approve them.
Well, I just sent them out to the board because
I just
I
saw them,
forgot
yeah.
to send them out. And yeah, just we'll go over them. We can go over them by email and then
Yeah. That'll work.
So we've got Bruce, Vinny, and Terry.
Hi, Vinny.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hey, howdy. Were you at King of the Hammers?
Who are you talking to, Vinny?
Vinny.
No, I was not there.
Oh, okay. No wonder I didn't see you.
No. I went like 8 years in a row, and I'm done with that. To tell you the truth.
I went just for an overnighter.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun and everything. It's just a little too crazy out there. So.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Okay, Mike Moore.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, how are you doing?
So remember, Ed Stoven isn't going to be on till late, and Bob Hamm can't be on tonight at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing okay.
He's having some problems with medication, so.
Uh-oh. We're all falling apart. We need some younger board members.
Yep.
Yeah. How do we accomplish that? Let me know. There's a few prospects out there, but not very many.
Not many at all, but we got to train our replacements.
this Terry work. I just want to let you know,
Terry.
Jared said he couldn't be on the call tonight because he's touring Oceano Dunes to see the closures with Danny.
Okay.
But Dave is on because he just came on. And Diana's on.
Hi, Diana. Dave.
Hey.
Hello. Yeah, this is Dave.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 board members. Ken, did you see Lori this weekend?
No, I did not. I saw a post, something about Kentucky.
Oh. All right, we should contact her.
Was this weekend the four-wheel drive or four-wheel parts show?
Yeah, it was.
Are you going to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll talk about it a little bit and we'll get going.
No, it's 7:04.
It wasn't as well attended as it was in the past.
It's 7:04. Bob's going to be off. Ed Stoven's going to be off. Lori's in Kentucky. We may have a few more people. Oh, there's Butch.
Hey.
Hi, Butch.
Hello. I would have been more except the computer took a long time to boot up. I'm all ears.
You guys mentioned a Dave. Who's Dave? Do I know Dave?
Dave.
This is Dave Cundy with Point Lookout Four Wheel Drive Club.
Okay. All right. Cool. I think I've met you before.
Yeah, this is Vinny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've met.
All right, well, I would say, Ken, we should call the meeting to order. We don't have a quorum, which we knew we probably weren't going to get. Vinny, do you know if Jim is in town or not?
I don't think they're in town.
Yeah, so...
Which doesn't mean they can't be on the call, but I don't think they're in town.
It's hard somewhere else.
I think they're out of town.
All right. So, Ken, do you want to call the meeting to order?
Yes, I will. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call our February 24th meeting to order. I'll start with the roll call. Welcome, everybody. Just getting going here. All righty. Okay, Diane, you're here, aren't you?
Muted, but yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Good to hear from you. Bruce Witcher? Witcher? I got no
idea. Yeah, I'm on.
You're here? Okay, Bruce. Roberta's not secretary. Bruce Brazil?
Here.
Lori Lewis is not with us. Jim Woods is not with us.
No, Jim just came on.
We're here.
Hey, how you guys doing? Where you at? Okay, nope. Ed Stoven's going to be on later. Vinny, you're here?
I'm here.
Vinny's here. Bob Hamm is not with us. At least in spirit. Amy, you're here, of course. Is Charlie Lowe with us? Nope. Wayne Ford? And Mike Moore. Did I get everybody? Mike, you're here, right?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Fantastic. Yes? Okay, Andy. So we got guests also. Who do we
have
for
Robin Reed? Robin Reed from IE4W.
Robin. Ah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Terry Work, you're with us?
That is correct.
And Dave Kundel, was it? Is it Kundel?
Dave Cundy.
Cundy.
Dave Cundy, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I know. And we got Butch.
Yep, Butch Miner, Bay Area Writers Forum.
All righty, welcome. Do we have any other guests?
Ken Oyer.
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Good.
All right, good to hear from you. All right. Ken Oyer is with us. Okay. So, welcome everybody. We just got the agenda. Amy's been very busy, so we'll review that by email and approve it by email or at the minutes.
You mean the minutes?
Just the minutes. The minutes. We'll approve the minutes by email. We can discuss it and take care of it that way. That'll give everybody a chance to read it. Does anybody have anything else for the agenda? Bruce, did you have something? Or Butch?
No, I'm good. Carnegie
Butch. John? I think it was John Kinley wanted to add something. I saw an email. But he's not on the phone. Okay, anyway, moving on. President's report, been a month full of surprises. We got new legislation coming out that we have to fight. We've got the commission has decided to call a meeting all of a sudden. Then what else we got going on? Oh, more legislation on Carnegie, of course. So during the last month, I've did an overnighter down to King of the Hammers. Amy and I hung out in Hammertown with at the Nixon Tire booth. It was a lot of fun. We talked to every vendor that is one of our sponsors that we could while we were there. It was beautiful weather. It was a nice day. Great times. I also attended the Cal Four Wheel convention last weekend. I just want to say you guys are wonderful. You guys are really wonderful. That is such a circus. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So very, I attended it just as a, just try to show that we're willing to work together. But they've got their own things to do, so we'll just let them do what they do, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing. I attended the, had a booth at the Four Wheel Parts Truck Fest in San Mateo this weekend. I was there Saturday and Sunday. Two of the Wandering Wheelers came out on Saturday and helped me. One of them came out on Sunday and helped me out for a while. It was not attended as well as it had been in the past, and there had been, there were some vendors that had been there in the past that aren't there today, or were not there over the weekend. Mastercraft, I didn't see. Power Tanks, two or three vendors. There's a lot of changes going on with them, with Polaris buying them out, but they're doing just fine. But it's nice of them to support us. We've just been told to show up. So that was a good time. I sold, I haven't counted up all the money. Saturday we did, I think it was $547, and we probably did another $300 on Sunday. I will have my inventory done tomorrow, and the money transferred up to Mike tomorrow, so we'll have that in the bank, and we can get our taxes done with the inventory. That's... Oh, we also attended the... go ahead.
I was just going to say, what about memberships? Did you sign any memberships up?
I got two members signed up. I really am falling down on that. I did have a Square at one time, and I have an OtterBox case on my phone, and nothing will fit in it, including a Square. So I am I did purchase...
Well, you don't even need anything to fit in those boxes anymore if you have the Bluetooth one. That works pretty sick.
Yeah, I don't have that. So I am going to get with Amy and get a Square device. I have bought a tablet that I can use so they can enter their own information and we can run everything through there. I got a little keypad to go with it so that, you know, we don't have to read their handwriting. So by the next event, I will have it set up. I did get two memberships, and several other people said they would look us up online and sign up. Everybody was really interested in to hear what we're doing, thought we were doing a great job. Some people had never heard of us. Some people have heard of us and realized how much work we do. What else did? Oh, Amy and I attended the stand for the sand. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That was interesting. Not well planned, but people were there. That's about what I got. And the commission meeting. Yes, we have that commission meeting up that everybody has to be at on Thursday if you can. It's at the Four Points just south of the Sacramento Airport, I believe. So that's what I have. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Can I do this, Terry Work? How do you mean the...
Hi, Terry.
How do you mean the stand for the sand was not well planned?
Well, nobody had a clue of what to do or what was going on. There was no real agenda. Nobody knew. Once all of us activists spoke, they had no idea of what to do or how to go see their senators, and nobody to help them, which we did, and Spencer helped a few people. But, you know, they set it up on the south, on the west lawn. It should have been on the north lawn, which they had a permit for, which is where everybody comes into the Capitol so they're seen. For the most part, people were respectful. We had a reporter there, but we did not get as many people, even though we flooded it, you know, on social media. We really promoted this, and we got very few people from Southern California. We got lots of people from Northern California. We got people all the way from San Diego, but very few from the north. So the reason I say it wasn't very well planned was because there really was an agenda of what we were going to do, a goal of what our purpose was, and no leadership. Now, we did try, Amy and I both tried to give some general advice, and, you know, it wasn't accepted. So we just kind of said, we're supporting you, and we'll be there. The legislator, you know, with the protester, the rally being at the Capitol building and targeting the legislators really don't have a lot to say in this issue. They can put some pressure on people, but it's not really a legislative issue at this time. At least that's my feeling. Amy can probably speak a little further on that.
But everyone has to understand with in regards to rallies or anything at the Capitol is that almost every day there is a rally at the Capitol. So it's not unusual. It happens all the time, which is a good thing. It means people are participating in government. So they plan them way in advance, and generally you want a tent, you want a loudspeaker, you want the people sort of having a place to go where they will gather information. You want the ability to talk to people and get people who may be passing by interested in your issue. You want to plan perhaps legislators to speak, other people to speak on your issues. So the first thing you have to determine is, what do you want to accomplish with the rally? What's the goal or you want to achieve? Because people in Sacramento, they'll pass by a rally every day and they won't pay attention. So it's not an unusual. And the last legislative session, the anti-vaccination people were there, it seemed like once a week, probably was once every other week, but with thousands of people and celebrities and everything else. And their bill still passed, which is not what they wanted. They wanted it to be vetoed, and it wasn't. They didn't want it to pass, and it passed. So when you talk about what is it that you hope to achieve, you want to target the correct people and also get support, get legislators out to talk to. By having the meeting on a Friday when legislators aren't in town, legislators are only in town Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So, and staff on Friday, it really is casual Friday at the Capitol. They're in and out. Their legislator isn't there. It's kind of a really casual day. They're sort of, you know, sort of floating. And you can catch some of them in if you make an appointment ahead of time. But you won't catch the legislators because they're all out. So that wasn't, and we had talked to, and really have to thank Audrey Mason from SDRC for being part of it. She came early. She met with her legislators. She came to my house for dinner. So we had a good opportunity to talk. And I would say that it was good to get people together, and that was really positive part for people to know that, yes, you know, we're everyone's fighting, every organization and representatives there, where we're all asked to kind of take a back seat to Danny and Leah and to Friends of Oceano Dunes, which we did, but we were there, whether it was CORVA, CalFOR, ASA, AMA, we were all there. We all, you know, stayed in the background because we knew it wasn't about us, and that's what we were asked to do, so that's what we did. And but we were there to show our support. So we did it, but you have to figure out, why are you doing it? What is it that you hope to achieve? And the people, and I talked to Leah and Danny about this, so the guy that's most closely involved in making the decision is the Secretary of Natural Resources. And he isn't at the Capitol. That's not where his office is. So that's where I'm working to get the most influence. And
so,
that's kind of in a nutshell. It was great to see people come. Air horns aren't a great idea at the Capitol. It just isn't the right atmosphere that you want to set. And holding signs that say liberals go home in the middle of a Capitol that's populated by a supermajority of Democrats isn't a real good idea either, because that's going to lessen any impact that you might have to talk about the lack of science. You know, you have to find your talking points that relate to the issue. And so those are some of the things that could have been better coordinated. But, you know, Lee and Danny are great people. They're
absolutely
with their hearts and souls and minds, and they're pretty amazing.
So I saw this as basically a group of off-roaders that are just so fed up and frustrated. They had no idea what to do, and they had to do something, and they didn't know exactly how to pull it off. I mean, it was a great event. It was nice to see everybody, but we could have got our message to the right people, and we could have made it a lot better. It could have been a lot better than it was. But
could you have sooner to offer the suggestions, like get a better PA system, walk the halls, you know, organize.
Yes,
we had done that. We had done all that.
I can't tell you how many times we started before. Actually, Terry, we had before Christmas, we had conference calls. And Nick Karras was really a great help in this, too, because he put on a couple of really successful rallies for the lane-splitting bill. So he had done it most recently, and we all tried to offer exactly those suggestions and more, and they just said, we want to do it our own way, and they did. So, again, you have to admire their heart, their dedication, everything they're putting into it. They're awesome people. But achieving a political goal in the Capitol has to be approached in a much more calculated fashion.
Okay, because I've been covering
everything.
I did see the news coverage, and the best way to put it, that was yards, eons above what was the Air Resource Board coverage. Actually, it was the true coverage. A true side was shown, as you know, Amy. That one guy that was there interviewing you and asking me questions, he turned it all against us. So this time,
right,
the media,
I know,
show a good one. I was watching her give it live, and again, just to be sure, on the videotaping of it. And she did a really good job, and also she did a follow-up. So that was really, really good.
Yeah, but it didn't play in Sacramento. And that's the downfall, because a lot of these decisions and a lot of these stalemates can be influenced in Sacramento, but it got no coverage here. And that's the difficult part. It's ideally you want both. You know, you want it to play well in the halls, you want it to play well at the natural resources building, and you want local coverage that is positive. And they did achieve the local coverage that is positive. So that was really good. But we still, we have, I just was talking today with the chief of natural resources, chief of the natural resources department for state parks. And I called Diana afterwards frustrated. So, you know,
well,
we
Amy,
have a long ways
we,
to go.
So, okay. Amy, so we've pretty much, Terry, we've pretty much covered Stand for the Sand. Are you good with that? Everybody else good for that? Okay, let's go. Yes.
I guess.
Okay, let's go back to Amy's manager and director report.
Right.
Amy's been busy.
After this next commission meeting, I'll be able to release a full written report because there are things that I wanted to send to the board, which I cannot send to the board, and I know that sounds cryptic right now, but with Bruce and Diana, we've been involved in a, I wouldn't say in-depth investigation, but a pretty good investigation on SVRA management and overseeing money leaving from the OHV Trust Fund. We produced a report. We had a meeting last week with the deputy director in charge of operations and the four district chiefs in Sacramento. And the three of us, Bruce and Diana and I, attended the meeting. It was sort of a bombshell kind of thing because the report gave what are really sort of anecdotal reports, but sort of also, God, my brain isn't working, but it reflected on the way management has changed since SVRAs have been absorbed into mixed districts. And to put it bluntly, it's not working. So we also sent this to the commissioners. And the chair of the commission asked us for the meantime not to release it to the public until the meeting on Thursday, and our report is going to form an important part of this meeting on Thursday. And in order to respect the chair of the commission and what the OHMBR commission hopes to achieve at this meeting, we agreed to keep it out of the public eye. So only the people who were at the meeting, the state director, the chief deputy director, Liz McGurk, the chief of the Department of Natural Resources, Jay Chamberlain, and the commissioners have this report. We approached it from an angle that we just wanted to hear from enthusiasts who put on events. We wanted to hear from employees, past and present, and what was actually going on. And as word spread that we were doing this, we actually had people calling us and saying, we want to let you know what's going on. And in some cases, the people who called me, I have no idea who they are. All I know that they're state parks employees. We have promised to keep all sources anonymous and to protect our sources. But then after we got all the information, there were a few people I knew that I could reach out to and just read these things to without any attributions and say, does this sound like what's going on? Is this accurate? Is this in any way exaggerated? Is this too anecdotal? And in every case, all the information that we had collected and gathered was validated. And it is, I kept on telling Diana, I kept on sort of writing her notes and saying, I am shocked. I am appalled. And she didn't realize until she started doing her own analysis. And then she called me and she said, I am shocked and I am appalled. So I guess what the message is I'm giving everybody on the call and will be happy to present once we, either after the meeting or once the chair says, okay, release it to the public. And there's a conversation going on about that now, is that we've seen evidence of blatant mismanagement. And I've talked to Bob about this also, because they're taking from the OHV Trust Fund in very ingenious ways that are difficult to track, but really do constitute illegal taking from the OHV Trust Fund. And one of the things that just blew our minds, sort of, Diana and I, is that they're reallocating trash cans from SVRAs, and they did it in two SVRAs that we know of. Because why can't state parks just buy their own trash cans? This is sort of ridiculous, and the trash cans are in SVRAs for reasons. Similarly, water trucks, equipment, manpower, all of these are being stripped literally from our SVRAs, which isn't okay, because then the work isn't being done and the maintenance isn't being done in the SVRAs.
Would it be fair to say that this is what's going on is basically the same thing that was happening in state parks back in the prior to 1982 when we helped form the division?
Yeah, I'd say that there are some similarities, and when you want to look at motive, and this is one of the reasons that I had the conversation with the chief of natural resources, is the director and chief deputy director didn't go into transformation with this intent. So it's not as if they wanted to ruin the SVRAs. But what they didn't account for is longtime employees of parks who were envious of SVRAs or envious of the OHV Trust Fund, other employees who just don't like OHV and have been put in charge of OHV parks. There are very few employees that we named, but we did name Russ Dingman because it's so obvious. It's become a little bit of a
cliche. Information.
I'm sorry?
You're giving away information.
Oh, well, everyone knows Russ. I mean, it's the highlight of ineptitude. So it really, I have to say that I was shocked, and the meeting went on close to 2 hours, and of course the people are defensive, but then it sort of turns out that none of them are happy either. At least that's what I got out of it, and Bruce and Diana, please chime in. I mean, they were sort of saying, like, the guy with Oceana Dunes in his district saying, well, I never wanted Oceana Dunes. And now maybe we know why Oceana Dunes. He presented all the deaths that occurred at Oceana Dunes without any context, without any comparison to deaths that had occurred on state beaches in surfing accidents, at Yosemite taking selfies. He presented it to the Coastal Commission in a way that sounded like Oceana Dunes was the most dangerous place, when actually it's not. There is an inherent risk in everything from skydiving to taking selfies to surfing, and yet none of that was reflected in his statement, and it's because he really didn't want to be in the position of having Oceana Dunes in his district. So none of this is a good plan. The problem is, the question is, what Diana and I were working on today, and Bruce just chimed in on, what is it that we ask them to do that they can do? What is it that we ask them to change? And that's what we're going to present at this commission meeting on Thursday. And it's kind of taken all of our efforts. If I can't even stress how much this affects everything. I mean, it even affects the grants in a way, because, I mean, it does and it doesn't. The grants do have a separate track, But there are issues with grants too. So we've uncovered, I don't know, we've uncovered just a big mess that maybe subconsciously we knew was going on. The part that I feel very lucky about is that we are able to get these meetings in person. I am able to talk to these people and explain our point of view in a way that's not combative, but is factual. And, you know, I was told today and said, you know, well, it's only these mixed districts have been there 2 to 3 years. Don't you think they need time to work out? And I said, no, because we had a system that worked. And it was taken apart. And our customers, which are us, the UHV community, expect more. Our customers count. Our happiness, our satisfaction with state parks count. And there's problems with permits. I mean, it's pervasive. So it's up to us to do something about this because we started the investigation. And we literally started the investigation. And it was Jared who actually sort of started it and gave me the idea because he said, oh, I was talking to the woman over at Hungry Valley, and she said there might be a problem with our permit this year. And I went, that's odd. Why should we have a problem with a permit at Hungry Valley? And it didn't make sense. And so I started making calls, and it's like one thing led to another. So it was just an offhand comment from Jared that led us to really look into this. And again, we have the trust and the faith of a lot of people, it turns out, that collectively we know and that trust us with their careers and the information and trust us not to betray them. Because they did ask for names and numbers, and we're not giving it. It's irrelevant to the conversation.
Amy,
going
how
nowhere.
Long do these people Amy, this is Terry. How long do these people have these positions with the OHV?
Some, one guy I talked to is literally either retired annuitant, and it's not anyone that you guys know, like it's not George or anyone, but he's been with State Parks for 30 years in both OHV and non-OHV and was able to do a really good comparison of what he's seen before and what he's seen after, what he knew of employees in regular state parks when he worked in that division. And so these are long-term employees. These aren't short-term. These are 8 years, 10 years, 15 years. And I could say to a person, they're people who really care. They're really upset. It hurt my heart to hear some of these stories. They're living with hate. I mean, they're living in circumstances that we shouldn't ask anybody to work in.
Wow.
So we kind of got our agenda just kind of mixed up here because we've covered your report. Well, you still have some other stuff you've done also, because we're talking about the 27th OHM VR commission meeting, which is way down here on the agenda. But
So
do you have any? What else do you have, Amy?
Well, we have the last commission meeting, which was in Lake Arrowhead. But I also went to the King of the Hammers, and it was the first time. And a lot of people I really have to thank for making it easier for me. Walking there is very difficult for anybody who's disabled, just saying. It's very uneven ground, and it's hard. So Nixon and Tire was really wonderful in allowing us in their semi where nice, cool room and literally can sit down or lie down on the benches in there, which was a great relief. We met with a lot of people, but also met, had an appointment with Jay Obernolte and Dakota Higgins. Jay Obernolte is running for Congressman Cook's seat, and we've worked with Congressman Cook a lot on issues because his district goes from Inyo, you know, into Big Bear and all of Johnson Valley. And Jay Obernolte is currently in the assembly and now is his Congressman Cook's handpicked successor. Dakota Higgins is Congressman Cook's handpicked, natural resources person who's worked closely with a whole bunch of people from Eastern Sierra Four-Wheel Drive Club, worked on Big Bear issues, and everyone likes Dakota. He's a great guy. So we toured a little bit with them, got to talk to him also about Forest Service issues. We believe that Jay will be elected. There doesn't seem to be any serious opposition, and Congressman Cook is very well liked in that district. So we have an opportunity perhaps to bring him and the other congressmen who support, you know, Congressman Amalfa, Congressman McClintock, and up and down and maybe work on some Forest Service issues, which would be a great idea. We also met with the new state director of the BLM, but oddly enough, the next day on Saturday when I was flying home, we sat next to each other on a plane going home. So I actually had a lot of conversations with her. She's very nice. I think we'll be able to work with her very, very easily. She didn't really know what to expect from King of the Hammers, but talking with her, she's very open to OHV. She was really impressed with what she saw, but then we talked about all the other issues facing OHV up and down the state because we were in the waiting room and then on the plane the whole time, so it was really a good opportunity. And when I told her that I'd help her with anything and I'm about 15 minutes away from her office, she was seemed to be really excited. So that was a really great opportunity, too. So we still have Forest Service issues. Our petition against the Forest Service has reappeared now, and Texas Public Policy Institute is pursuing it again with the Department of Agriculture, which is good. It hasn't cost us a penny, literally. But it hopefully will get some good resolution and it'll give us some good press. I know the snowmobile community is really excited about it, but if we manage to change the travel management rule, it will affect the entire country. So there's a lot of responsibility going into that. But we're really concentrating on trying to change opinions about Oceano Dunes. And what I really believe is that the state director, Lisa Mongat, has not been reappointed yet. And that's also why this commission meeting, for those that don't know, starting May 1st, we lose three commissioners, which means that the commission won't have a quorum and they won't be able to hold a commission meeting. So literally the 27th or the 28th was the last opportunity for them to hold a commission meeting. And we don't know when the next OHMVR commission meeting will be able to take place because we don't know when the appointment.
Why are we losing them? Why are we losing commissioners?
Because the commissioners are appointed for a certain amount of time, and once that term is up, they ask to be reappointed generally. So, for example, Paul Slavik has been on since 2008. He's never had a problem being reappointed. But now his term is up, and you have 60 days grace period to still act as a commissioner and be able to vote as a commissioner after your term is up. So all of these three people, their term was up. There were actually five commissioners whose term was up January 1st of 2020.
Well, they're not going to get appoint someone else then, or what? I mean,
well, right now appointments in. Bruce can explain this better than I can, but appointments are stalled throughout government. So this isn't necessarily an OHMVR problem. This is an appointment problem.
Well, that doesn't make sense that they can't, that
they'll allow that to not have a quorum, or they change. They need to change the rules of the quorum or something. Nothing get done.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just OHM. It's not only the division. State Parks has the same issue, doesn't it? And I think a couple other agencies do. The governor is
the
just
State Parks,
not appointing people for some reason.
Right. Bruce Witcher, can you explain how the appointments work? Are you still there? Let me see. He should be there.
He's probably
on. I'm here.
There you are.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, the appointments unit is a black box. It's totally impenetrable. Basically, my sources tell me, not that I have any great sources, believe me. I understand that, well, anytime an administration changes, they toss all the application files and start all over again. So existing board members or commission members have to reapply under the new administration if their term is up, which in this case it is for a number of our commissioners. Now, the challenge with Governor Newsom's appointments unit is that he replaced everybody upon taking office. All the old people, the brain trust, so to speak, went away. All new people came in. Then, as of January, he decided to appoint all new people once again. So now we have people who've been in office, maybe, or who've had appointment, you know, the appointments unit's been in place for a few months. They're gone, and we have all new people. So, you know, nobody knows which end is up. And we have a number of key boards, bureaus, and commissions who are running up against a hard deadline, which I believe is March 1, where all their incumbents term out, and we have no replacements on the horizon. And we're talking people who have served one or more term in historical memory across all state government, which is a huge crisis government-wide. The loss of the institutional memory of, you know, boards, bureaus, and commissions is incredible. And if the governor doesn't get off the dime and get things moving, it isn't just the OHMVR that's in trouble. It's all of these entities. So, you know, again, we're seeing government dysfunction on a really widespread scale. It's everybody likes to think conspiracy theory and they're out to get OHV. Well, no, that isn't the way it is. Everywhere you look, you know, it's kind of getting to where we run like Afghanistan. You know, the power's on for 3-4 hours a day, like PG&E, and state government is a sometimes thing. So get used to the new normal.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks for that explanation. Just renewed my faith in our government.
Yeah, it's not just us. Everybody is at a standstill. It's just insanity.
But that's why they wanted to have this commission meeting on the 27th, and they wanted to have it specifically about this. It was sort of coincidental that Corvus started doing our investigation into mismanagement of SVRAs, and at the same time, the commission had been hearing complaints. And so it wasn't planned for our report to come out at the same time as the commission meeting, but it sort of made it much easier for the commission because they're using our report as a basis for their investigation. So, but it wasn't planned. If we had planned it wouldn't have worked that seamlessly. But it just is. But like I said, it's distressing. It's, you know, we're dealing with pushback, which as Diana said, we should have expected more. I was hoping we could move right more into the solution, because you can't really present people with problems and not present them with solutions. But in order to do that, we also need non-negotiables. So that's what we're working on today. What are appropriate non-negotiables that we hand to state parks and say, these are bottom line, have to get done? And so we're still working on that part, because we will be asked to speak at the commission meeting, and so we have to have this ready. But this is the core of our opportunity, because what we are also lacking now is our control over Forest Service and BLM, which is statutorily mandated that the OHMVR division have a relationship and have responsibility. And also the next meeting that we're pursuing is law enforcement, because our law enforcement staff has been usurped from the division as well. And this is something I don't think people realize. I didn't realize it completely, but all responsibility for where they're allocated, how they're allocated, whether they'll be permitted to oversee events, how much it's going to charge, they're going to charge back to people to oversee events, all that has been taken out of the OHMVR division. And now this other guy, Scott Bain, who hates OHV, has it. So we've requested a meeting, and we'll start with that argument. Law enforcement goes to King of the Hammers. Law enforcement goes on the Rubicon during the summer. It's far more than just SVRAs and even permits. Any area where they're having a big event, Jeepers Jamboree, OHMVR law enforcement is part of it. So we're dealing, I think we can identify this as a crisis.
Yes, I would, Amy. This is, I feel, is the worst case scenario we've had since I got involved in this back in 2000. I mean, Forest, we had travel management and the water board and all that, but this is just, it's a total mess. It's as you say, it's dysfunction of government. It's pretty sad.
Any more questions? I just did want to mention at KOH, Don Alexander helped me did four Corva videos. I'm really weird about watching myself, so I haven't watched them yet, but I think they're on our YouTube channel, and I know at least one or two have been out on social media, but the goal is to have those out on social media, and they sort of explained what Corva does and how we do it, the importance of meeting with your legislators. So to do that, I sent Bob Hamm a draft of what I call the Now or Never campaign, which gives instructions to people that we can hand out all over the place and distribute on social media. This is how you talk to legislators. This is what you expect. It's pretty simple. I just want to make sure I haven't missed any of the steps. So Bob is reviewing that, and then afterwards we'll be able to release that to the public, which I think will be a great one-sheet handout. People can print it. We can have it on the website. It'd be on social media and say, this is how you do it. So that should be finished within a day or two.
Well, thank you. Yeah, social media and the
who wants to talk about the bills?
Yeah, what bills do we have now? I see that we have a new Carnegie bill.
Two of them.
I haven't been able to find the second one. Do you know what the number is on it?
I'll send it out. I don't have it.
Okay.
It's a companion laser bill. I think Kathy sent it to us.
Okay. The assemblywoman from Concord, her name is Baker? Oh, no, that was the last one.
No, that was the last one.
She's not actually Concord. She is from approximately Walnut Creek, south all the way to through Pleasanton and into Livermore, and it's Rebecca Bauer Kagan.
That's right.
I don't know that we have any others from Senator Glazier's district here, but he is up for election. He's got two competitors, one Republican and one Democrat. The interesting thing about the Republican is that she is not advertising. She's not on social media. She doesn't respond to anything. But I figure, what the heck, I'm still going to put something out and say, hey, here's an alternative to Glazier.
thank you.
Perhaps the fact alone that she is a Republican will be enough to get some of those Republicans who in the past have voted for Glazier to shift. And maybe the entire off-road community, because I'll tell you, I don't care what my flavor is anymore. I want that guy out.
Yeah. Rebecca's, the bill that she introduced is pretty much word for word to last year's bill, except they would like it to be sold to as a conservation easement. They've added that into it.
Yeah, that's worse.
Yes, much worse.
It's not good. So we have two Carnegie bills, and then we have a commission bill that actually Bob and I worked on, but some of the language was changed, and where we have to change some of the language back. So this is going through Senator Allen's office, and Kathy is, of course, going to be a big help on this. We have to massage the bill, but then we have a bill that actually Bob thought up, which is our reciprocity bill. And what it basically does is take away reciprocity for OHV registrations for any OHV from any vehicles registered in states that don't recognize California's OHV registrations. So right now, Utah and Arizona require California residents to buy new registrations if they take their OHVs to their states. So basically, people from Arizona and Utah would be required under this law to purchase California registrations because they don't allow reciprocity. And it's similar if you think of license plates. Whenever anybody travels to a different state, you don't need to buy a new license plate. You already have one from the state that you are in. And that's the same way it had always worked for OHV vehicles. So now these two states have changed the rules, and which makes it difficult for everybody to recreate. So any state that does recognize reciprocity, their residents will not have to purchase it. But it's kind of a way to get back at these states and say, what you're doing isn't right. These aren't the agreements we've always had, you know, sort of stop it. And hopefully put some pressure on them through their residents, who will now, anybody who wants to go from Arizona and go recreate at the dunes will have to purchase a California registration.
That's going to piss off a lot of people that go to Glamis.
Well, that's their guy who did it.
I mean,
in Arizona,
yep,
he started the whole thing. So the goal is they're doing to us. And that was Bob Hamm's baby, and he wrote it. And we have someone who's carrying it. But with these Carnegie bills, what we need to do, something differently this year than we've done. We've fought these bills for the last 4 years, and before that, we've had more issues with Carnegie. We didn't get the response from the public that we really needed to, because people are tired. And now we need to get all the statewide organizations, every organization. I don't care if it's District 36, District 37, any club, everybody behind this is time, and make it really a joint effort. So I'm going to use the list that Jared put together for the Stand for the Sand rally and try to get all the same people to, and let's make a plan to do this for Carnegie, just as we're trying to fight for Oceano Dunes, because we have to do it for all the estuaries. So that's the goal with that. And once we figure out exactly what we're doing, we'll start sending out alerts. Right now, there's no meeting scheduled, so that's when everyone coalesces, but we need a plan. This gets very tiring and kind of depressing, these bills year after year after year.
Okay, any questions? All right, so we've covered any other updates on Oceana Dunes at all? Just
other than the commission meeting, the Coastal Commission meeting, the next one is in the middle of March. I want to say March 11th or 13th. I don't remember offhand, but it is someplace. I think it's in Northern California. Like,
yeah, it might be Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
it's someplace
in
Northern California here.
Yep. So that is
so
accessible.
Yeah, I'll be able to make that too. Okay. Our government is a total mess right now. And one thing that I have been talking to everybody about, and also I did a video last week on, is the same thing Amy said, is we need to get everybody involved. We need people to show up at meetings, commission meetings, legislative meetings. We need them making calls to their legislators. We need them writing letters to their legislators. If we can't get that done, then we're in trouble. It's not going to turn out good for us. So enough depressing news. We'll move on. The next item I have is Ed's OHV celebration with Friends of Jawbone. Amy, have you, I know you're talking about everything. Are you working on that, or have you been in contact with Friends of Jawbone on that one?
Yeah, I just talked to Shelley a couple of days ago. I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week, and trying to find out, you know, when the next meeting is. And she said there'll be a conference call in about 3 weeks, that right after the next Friends of Jawbone meeting. And Randy's going to get everyone together. I also asked them to make up a Corva 50th anniversary banner that we can hang at the event. And we were kind of talking about what that should look like. And one idea that we had was using the 50th anniversary bear kind of in the center, which we've kind of had on our shirts, but also trying to find every Corva logo we've had for the past 50 years and sort of putting them, you know, the history of Corva for our logos. So if anybody has some old Corva logos, like the one on the jacket that Jared had got, we had that one for a while. I don't know if we can get any pictures of these, but it could make a really cool 50th anniversary banner.
I have some stickers that Roberta sent me that have their old Corva stickers about 10 inches in diameter that have buggies, jeeps, bikes, and boats on it. Was that an official logo?
Yes, it was.
I think it's close enough.
Okay.
I have a shirt like that. So, yeah, take a picture of it.
Yeah, I'll take a picture and get it to you.
Yeah, and Terry,
also,
if you have...
Yeah, I have a couple. Little known fact is the Corva logo, when we went to the Corva in the license plate frame, the colors were reversed originally. It was a black logo with orange lettering. So that was the first official Corva license plate in the big big Corva. And then it was voted to make it the orange background and, you know, like that. So they swapped the colors.
Oh, good to hear that. Since we're already in Jawbone, and our annual meeting and 50th anniversary are going to be there, why don't we move those two items up to with Ed's celebration here? What do you think about that? So we're going to have the annual meeting and the 50th anniversary and Ed's celebration all at Jawbone. It's going to be a busy weekend. I will make a make a conference call for the 50th anniversary group. Now that we know where we're meeting, we can move on and decide what we want to do, what we want to supply. There's going to be, you know, other people there and stuff, so we got to start talking about that. And then the annual meeting will be at Jawbone. Any other thoughts on that? All right, we'll start a conference call just for the 50th anniversary, and we'll get the annual meeting squared away. That seems to take care of itself pretty good. Northern Report, I don't have much more going on up here. Bruce, do you have anything?
Yes, two items. I was reading over on Pirate 4x4 that March 28th in Reno, there's going to be a Rubicon Trail meeting. And it has to do with the Tahoe National Forest taking over the management and maintenance of the Placer County section of the Rubicon Trail. And one little potential problem I see with that is the Tahoe is on a seasonal closure. So they could possibly just throw it into effect on the Rubicon also, instead of having the Rubicon open all year.
Actually, I talked to
and that's one item.
Okay.
Do I still have people here? I hear someone way in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Anyways.
What's your other item?
Okay. Sorry, I turned down my volume accidentally. The other item is the Carnegie Access Easement lawsuit from the Connolly Ranch. And like I'd mentioned a week or so ago, that the Attorney General's office wants to charge Connolly Ranch some figure, you know, $300,000+ for a small portion of the court costs. And then the last thing that Connolly Ranch posted up on the court's website, they're, I guess, taken back by that and saying that the Attorney General's office did not provide adequate information as to what those charges were covering. So I think Connolly Ranch is sweating it a little bit now. Yay!
Okay. On the Rubicon Trail on the Tahoe side, I did talk to Vicki Sanders, who runs the recreation for El Dorado County and the Rubicon Trail, and she told me they had signed an MOV with
MOU.
Was it with Tahoe National Forest or? But anyway,
yeah,
El Dorado National Forest is going to or El Dorado County is going to manage the Tahoe side now.
The Tahoe side?
Yes. And I did see that meeting that you saw. I saw a meeting it's all about the Tahoe side, but I didn't read what you read on that. Amy, do you have any insight?
Yeah, so there was a meeting. I have the minutes from the last meeting, which was in South Lake Tahoe. So for those who know Doug Barr or don't know, he's Corva's representative on a couple of different issues, and one of them is the Lake Tahoe West Recreation Partnership, which is a bizarre Lake Tahoe thing, but he's looking out for the interests of all OHV in that issue. And the other thing is Doug's an expert on what we call the other side of the Rubicon. First, El Dorado County, El Dorado County doesn't have an easement with the Tahoe National Forest, but the Tahoe National Forest does recognize El Dorado County's ownership of the road, so it isn't a Forest Service trail. So it's a complicated, because jurisdictionally it goes in and out of jurisdictions, but it is not part of travel management, and they can't put a seasonal closure on it. And we have confirmed with Placer County, there was a meeting that Doug went to about a month ago, 2 months ago, and they all met out there at the trail with Vicki Sanders from El Dorado County, and they all agreed that El Dorado County was best situated to manage it. That doesn't mean they're going to do all the work, and that's where Tahoe National Forest comes in, or Joe Chavez, to do the work, not to do the management. So it's kind of separated out into El Dorado County doing the management, but Tahoe taking on some of the work. Now, it doesn't make sense to me either. There is a meeting that we've been asked to attend at the Reno Motorsports Show. I think it's the weekend of March 13th. Doug's going to be leading the meeting, and he'll give me a report so I don't have to get to Reno by 9 o'clock in the morning, which, depending on the roads, can be a little treacherous to go over the passes. There's still plenty of snow up near Tahoe, by the way.
Yeah, this is Bruce Witcher. Just a couple of things on that. County road easements that where the county road predates the National Forest is not an unusual thing. It happens lots of places. All I can say is they seem to have it worked out. If you want work done, you won't find a better guy than Joe Chavez from Tahoe National Forest. So if travel management doesn't apply, that's certainly a good thing. On the cost recovery of Carnegie, the Attorney General's office bills out about $185 an hour as part of the court decision, and they usually are more than willing to present a very detailed statement of where all the money went. So the Connolly Ranch has good reason to be sweating at it.
Put the screws to them. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, we have to be careful because, you know, we have a couple of bills out there. In terms of litigation, cost recovery is the name of the game in state government these days, and they will be paid.
I wonder if this will have an effect on the four other lawsuits that we still have going on Carnegie.
Can they have a chilling effect?
Yeah, it just might. Thank you, Bruce. All right, Southern Report. Diana, do you have anything on the North?
Just the one thing. We, Corva, stepped up. Actually, it was me, but I said it was Corva, and purchased hot dogs for the people planting trees at Carnegie 2 weeks ago, and we're going to do it again in 2 weeks. So just a nice little, this is who we are, what we try to do, and people volunteer out there. We try to make sure that they find out who we are as well. So feel good about it. It's a good thing.
Thank you, Diana. The last time we planted trees a couple of years ago,
The park did not realize that they were going to get so much help. They thought they were going to have several tree planting days, and they ended up planting. We ended up planting 650 trees in one morning. And later, I talked to the lady that was running the program. About 2 years later, after we had a big winter, and I asked her how many survived, and the volunteer trees, it was almost 70% that survived, which is a higher survival rate than the park has ever had. When they plant them, they only get about a 30% survival rate. So just a little tidbit on that. All right. So Southern Report. Vinny, what do you have?
Okay, I just got a few things since our last meeting. A couple weeks ago, through Instagram again. I tell you what, Instagram, at least in the South here, seems to be like the a big way for us to get our word out and get spark people's interest. And a group that I've never heard of, but they're called Overland GX, and I think I told the rest of the rest of the board about it. But I tell you what, for a four-hour event, they invited us to it, and it was just it was one of those, like a meetup thing, and it was in the back lot of iBox Suspensions, and some guy on Instagram set this up. I guess he did it last year, and he did it again this year, and John Kinley hooked us up with him. And so I got in touch with a guy, and he says, "Yeah, if you guys would like to come down and put up an easy up, and maybe talk a little bit about what Corva does," and then they said they were going to have a raffle of stuff. I tell you what, for 4 hours we were there, I think I signed up like eight or nine members, and there was well over 100 vehicles that showed up that day. And he had a raffle. We ended up, and they donated all the proceeds from the raffle to Corva. And he handed me a big old wad of cash. It ended up being like $1,200 just from them. So I wrote up I sold a little bit of merchandise, not a whole lot. A couple of license plate frames and some stickers, and I gave a few things out. But we got, like I said, eight or nine new members. I got some good contacts for other businesses that I'm going to try to get a hold of. It'd be nice to get IBOC as one of our, business sponsor people and some of these other people, but it was just like if you want to call it like a grassroots thing, it was just people that just showed up in their Lexus Overland GX things. They're based on like the 4Runner, but most of them were like bone stock, but some of them had lift kits and winches on them and stuff. But these people had a lot of money. And, they're not your typical, you're not going to see them crawling up the rock trails or anything like that. But, hey, they seem like good people, and they were interested in Corbett. And everyone that I talked to, I asked them, "Have you heard about Corbett?" "Well, yeah, I follow you on Instagram." I mean, Instagram is, it's it right now. Who knows what's going to be in a few years. But anyways, I don't know if John Kinley's on the call, but kudos to John. He's killing it. I talked with John today, and I'm going to send out some of those sign-up little form things that Amy got sent to me that were signing up people, memberships on. I'm going to send them to this business, and they're going to hand them out to I'm not even sure what the business is, but they're going to hand them out to everyone that buys a product from them, and they – so I'm going to give them, I don't know, 300 or 400 of those things. I think I have like 1,000. So anyways, that was good. Next, with this coming weekend, is the Tierra del Sol Desert Safari. It's a huge event. I don't know if anyone's ever been to it. It's taken huge. It's out right where we out at Ocotillo Wells. They invited us to have a put up a booth there, complimentary booth, and so I agreed to go down there. So Charlie and I are going to go down there, and my son, and if anybody else wants to come help out and see what it's like. It should be a good time. It's going to be busy, I think. So,
Vinny, isn't it going to be at the Salton City Park?
This year they're having the main exhibit part and their home base, I guess, if you want to call it. Yeah, on the other side of the 86 over in some park in Salton City, yes. And I was reading their trail runs now, and they said they have like three trail runs that they're going to go on, two hard ones and one easy one. And they're like, they said you have to have 50. They're not even going to be at, I guess, it seems to me like they're not even going to be in Ocotillo Wells. They're probably going to be somewhere else because they said they're like 50 miles away and they want you to have a full tank of gas. So I gather they're probably trying to get away from having to pay all the permit fees and stuff that Ocotillo Wells wants them. So if they want to have a trail run in Ocotillo Wells, they charge them, you know, probably a lot of money for permits, and I'm guessing it's for like you know, cost recovery for law enforcement, because this event attracts a huge amount of people and a lot of them aren't even involved with the event itself. So law enforcement's definitely busy there that weekend. So
it's $9,000 was the permit. And
yeah.
State Parks has estimated that the cost for law enforcement for that weekend alone are anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. So that's the residue of the people who come down who aren't affiliated with the event. But there are going to be observers at the event from State Parks, because just the fact that we would charge a club $9,000 to use one of our SVRAs is very controversial. And so there are going to be observers looking at everything from how the club handles all the people. So I hope everyone is really well behaved and, you know, follows the rules and regulations, because that could get them back in the park.
I don't think the issue is the people that are there for the event. I really don't. Most of the people
it's
the people that just show up because it's a big event and they're not participating in the event at all.
But they have to see that for themselves. So park staff and personnel have to see that for themselves. It's one thing for us to say that. It's another thing for them to see it. So I know that they're going to be in attendance. I don't think they're going to have big shirts on them that say parks on them. I think they'll just be milling around, but the problem with that, there is no gate into Ocotillo Wells, so there's no way to limit traffic or stop traffic, or it's a difficult park because of that to manage. So the residue, the popularity of the event and all the people coming down who don't like to follow rules is kind of a history. That was at one time associated with the event. So it's a very difficult problem. It's good that State Parks is looking into it and going, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And there will be, I believe, also additional law enforcement from OHMVR.
I'm sure there's going to be.
Charlie's
going to show up. I think Charlie's on the call now. I think he signed on a little while ago. So. He's going to come down there. If anyone else wants to come down, you're more than welcome. We could use the help. And then the following weekend is a new event at Costa Mesa at the Orange County Fairgrounds. It's called the Four Wheeler Adventure Expo. And Amy, I guess they contacted Amy and she got a hold of me, and I said, yeah, we'll do it. But I kind of overbooked that weekend, and I didn't look at my calendar right. I cannot go to that that thing. I already have a previous engagement that I have to go to. Charlie, I think Charlie said he's going to go. Is that correct, Charlie, if you're on? If not...
Yeah. I plan to go. If it's the 2 days, any help is welcome, Mike or whoever might want to help out with that, because I have no idea how big it's going to be or how demanding it's going to be, but yeah, I'm planning on that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So if anybody else can get down there to help him, that would be great. One thing I noticed, I turned earlier on the last call, Mike Moore wanted us all, anybody that had a core of store items, he wanted us to give him an inventory. So I went through my inventory, and a lot of stuff I'm out of. So I looked at, and then I guess the inventory that Steve Gardner had, he sent in today or yesterday. I looked at his inventory. He doesn't have a whole lot of stuff. So we need to order more stuff. If we're gonna sell merchandise that shows and stuff, I mean, I only have two hats, and I think Steve only has a couple. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of license plates and stickers, but that's about it. And we got some of the new orange and gray shirts. But a lot of that other stuff, I don't know where it is or if it's all gone or something. We need to think about ordering that stuff. I did get in touch with the company that I ordered those flags from, and they said they're working on getting their machine fixed or something. So I'm going to give them a couple of weeks, and I'll get back in touch with them. If not, then we can find another vendor that can make the flags for us. But they made a pretty good flag, I thought. So, other than that, that's about all I got.
So, Vinny, we ordered hats today. John and I went over the inventory this morning, and we ordered hats today, the black bear hats. And he's working on some designs for new shirts. So all the other shirts are sold out besides the orange and the gray, which is like a sort of a great problem to have. And he wanted to get some designs for new shirts that would be different and exciting. So he's working with those Seek and Enjoy people to get us some new designs, and hopefully they'll be ready soon. And we also talked at King of the Hammers with Josh from Off the Grid. Was that his name?
I think so. I think it was Josh.
Yeah, Josh from Off the Grid, who has a really impressive line of clothing, who did also the King of the Hammers shirts. They did their shirts for him. So if they could do King of the Hammer shirts, I think they could do Corva shirts as well. And so we'll be looking at them.
They came out to the Truck Haven Challenge also. They were there.
Yeah, they're really nice people. Really nice people. And the quality of their stuff was impressive.
Josh mentioned doing graphics for us too, and selling us the whole thing at wholesale prices. So maybe we should get in touch with him about doing some shirts.
Well, I think they're a business sponsor of Corva also. So.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with going with him. We should go with someone that supports us like that.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, I'm sort of fiscally cheap, as a general rule, after having been in retail, so I like when things sell out, so we make sure we're getting our money out of them. So now is a time. We never used to have these shows during this time period, so it was a kind of a time to lay low a little bit, but now we did get behind, and so we're going to catch up as soon as we can. It's nice to see the reports from Mike and see actually how the merchandise is doing, so we make sure that we're getting our money's worth out of it.
Yep.
All right. Vinny, got anything else?
That's it for me.
Awesome.
So we'll see. I'll give a report on how yeah, that TDS event is. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Oh, I offered as a raffle prize. I made up a couple of little flyers or certificates, I should say, to offer a free Corva membership, and I'm gonna throw a couple of some other Corva swag in it. I mean, we need to give them something more than just, I think, a membership, but you know, I'll throw some koozies in there. And maybe license plate frame, and I don't know, maybe even one of them flags that I made up. But
hey, Vinny,
them. Yeah,
I know it's a long ways away, but you could offer a Darkhaven Challenge free entry.
I thought about that too, but that's like, geez, that's a year away. I know.
Yeah, but it's good advertising for us, you know, that we do have an event, because the people that go there, they go to events. So they find out there's another event or organization. It's just good advertising.
Yep. All right. I'll do that. I'll throw one of them in there too. That's not a big deal.
Cool.
So that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Vinny. Okay. So now we're down to Mike Moore's treasuring report. He always does such a fantastic job. I think you're just adding money in there, making it up and printing it.
Well, I just continue to
I don't
go.
Think so.
I appreciate everything you guys do. It really do an excellent job.
Can I break in here for a
numbers.
Second?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, can I just skip past the guest comments and questions so that they could participate a little bit before we get into the business? Thank
Absolutely.
You.
So do we have any comments? Thank you, Bruce. I'm sorry, Mike. Let's. I missed that one. We were getting so bouncing around there so much. Any guests have any comments, questions, any concerns, any issues in your area that you want to let us know about?
This is Terry. No, I pretty much asked mine, but I am I guess you'd say quite inquisitive exactly what Cora will be doing at the Moose Anderson Days, because I will be attending their next meeting in March, and they've asked me to promote the bejesus out of them, so I've been doing that also for them.
So we will be promoting that. So you can tell them we're going to have our annual meeting there in the store area there that we had it last time when we were there. And we're going to have our 50th anniversary. It's going to be a full day of things going on. We'll get more details within the next couple of weeks.
Have you decided on which day you are?
I believe we were talking Saturday, weren't we? Amy?
I know that was a discussion.
No,
but,
I mean Sunday. I think we pretty much figured out that Saturday we couldn't do. There's just going to be too much other stuff going on, and people that we want to meet. And now the BLM is coming, and now the Mojave Trail Preserves guy is coming. So there's going to be people that we need to meet with. And talk to and introduce Corva to, and we're going to need to have our meeting on Sunday.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, we used to come up on Friday. Would it be better to come up Saturday morning?
Is someone talking?
Saturday night.
Mike Morris talking.
Well, I can barely hear him.
Okay, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yep,
I can hear you.
Okay. in the past couple of years, we've gone up on Friday night and spent Friday, Saturday. is it looking like we'd be better off to come up Saturday morning and then spend Saturday night, do the meeting Sunday, and then come home?
Yeah, I'd
that
say if you're in Southern California, yeah, in Southern California, okay. You could do that. Those of us coming from Northern California will have to come down, you know, Friday night too, but.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're going to be there Friday, I may still come up. It's just I was going to book my room over at the hotel. So.
What hotel are we going to look at?
Let's take that question offline.
We'll take that offline. we're running out of time here fastly.
I have a question. Are we having any meetings on Saturday?
No, I don't think we'll be able to. What we will be doing is really honoring Ed and helping run the event in whichever way Randy needs help, which I don't know right now. And I'll be on the phone because that's what Shelley told me to do. And I'm really glad, Terry, that you're going to be there in person so we can maybe pin Randy down on some issues, which I've been trying to do but haven't been successful. I've left him messages, emails, and Randy answers in Randy time, which isn't always quick.
Okay. My only concern is how will membership know that you're going to stay over for Sunday? Because basically is a local event, and people go home. I mean, Point Magoo is going to be up there with part of the club camping out for the whole weekend, but...
It'll be the same as any meeting, and it's same as we did last year, the same as any meeting that we've always done. We'll say, this is the meeting, this is when the meeting is, and we'll put it, you know, we'll put it in the Araya, we'll put it on social media, we'll put it in all the ways that we send out alerts, all the meetings, all the ways that we get to our, you know, our folks. So we have to kind of use the same means that we use for any of the meetings. Hopefully people will understand that the celebration will probably go into the evening and they will plan to stay over. That would be great.
Yep. I'll put out an email to the 50th anniversary group and we can discuss all that then. Okay. Dave or Butch or Robin, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Dave Cundy. What exactly are you planning to, I mean, I know you've got a planning meeting for the 50th, but what exactly is it going to entail? Is it going to just be an advertisement, or are you going to actually have a celebration, or is it just a meeting?
We really haven't nailed that down. We'd like to have a celebration of some kind.
And then the other question is if you're, are you going to maybe hand out swag or anything like that? I know you were talking about merchandise, and are you going to do a special shirt or maybe a pin, something like that, that goes along with the 50th?
I think that's an absolute must. We have to come up with some type of special swag just for the 50th anniversary event.
I mean, if you were to run over, if you have more than you have participants, you could always put it on the website afterwards and make it available to people to purchase. So, I mean, you wouldn't mentally sell, but I think it's important. People really like those decade-type things. I mean, I think people would cherish something like that, you know, being a member for a long time or something. Having something that shows, I was there at the 50th to prove it.
Right.
I still have a couple of my 25th anniversary Corba patches from the San Diego annual meeting back then.
That's awesome.
Those of you that have seen me since November know that I went and had some Corva Bear pins made. I was thinking it would be a good idea to get some pins made with the 50th anniversary arch on it for the event. But that's something we can discuss at the next phone call.
Okay.
But yes, having something to commemorate the event is definitely a must. I appreciate that, Dave.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other guests, any other comments?
Okay. This is Robin. You guys are doing a great job. Keep up the work.
Well, thank you, Robin. We do our best. We're here to serve our members.
Well, your hands are full.
Oh, they are. But we have a really great team here. I'm really proud to work with everybody who is involved with Corva. All of you are just so fantastic. And we don't have a whole lot of drama like some other organizations. We're all pretty easygoing. And we accomplish a lot. So it's a good thing.
Okay, well,
with that, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. I'm going to go on mute.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. We appreciate that. We always need a pat on the back to remind us because this gets depressing at times. Okay. With that, we'll move. Go back to Mike. How are you, Mike? And how's our money?
Very good.
More money.
I'll try to be quick. I sent out all the numbers. I think you guys have got that. As we were talking about appointments, I went out on the state website. There's about 600 appointment positions. If anybody wants to go out and apply, they're accepting applications. So they've got quite a few open positions, and state parks is out there, as well as a whole bunch of other people. So anyway, a lot of open spots out there. I did get Vinny's inventory. I got Steve Gardner's today. I've entered those. Anybody else that has inventory, the sooner you can get it into me, the better. It looks like I do need to make quite a few adjustments because QuickBooks says there's quite a bit more stuff out there than what I'm seeing from Steve and Vinny. So I hope somebody else has got some inventory out there. I know, Ken, you had some.
Yeah, I have some. I started my inventory before the show, so I need to re-inventory everything, and I'll have that for you tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, whatever I get and comes in, I will adjust the inventory. And then, Vinny, once I get your numbers from Truck Haven, I enter the sales by item. So when you have the shows, you really need to be cognizant. Tell me what you sold. Don't just give me a dollar amount because I enter the items in QuickBooks and it deducts it from the inventory automatically. Then at the end of the year when I get these inventories, I need to reconcile it. So whatever the difference is, of course, we'll have to go into an adjustment. So just be aware of that. That happened when I changed showing the cost of goods sold every month here a couple months back. So anyway, just so you're aware. At the event, let me know what you sold. And again, I don't need sizes, just I sold 3 orange T-shirts. That's all I need. I don't need the sizes because I don't keep track of that minutia. Okay?
Okay, we'll do.
That's about all. Yeah.
Yeah, stickers. That's a whole different. Lots of times they just hand stickers out, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and stickers, I've noticed one of them, I've got an inventory higher than what QuickBooks is saying. A couple of the other ones are lower. So once I get it all in, I'll just reconcile it. Dollar-wise, I don't think it's going to make a great big difference. But it's just nice to get a starting inventory. And then, Amy, you said we bought some hats and stuff. I really, once you get those in, I really need the invoices because I need to enter each of the items by the particular part number that it's showing in QuickBooks
okay.
now. So,
all right.
In the past, some of the folks have just sent me a bill that I paid, but now I need to know what's actually on there. So anyway. Okay, and other than that, I'm done.
Thank you, Mike. So we're going to approve the minutes. Does anybody have any questions for Mike or financial questions? Some of the guests, they don't get Mike's treasurer report mailed out to them. So I'll just give you a little tidbit. Our balance in our bank account, according to Mike, is up $40,000 over last year. So we're growing all the time financially, which is a good thing. If you ever want any of that financial information, let us know, and we will get it to you. All right, so we already we're going to do the minutes by email, and then we have an open spot here in case anybody has anything else they want to discuss. If anybody wants to discuss anything, let me know. Speak up. Get unmuted. I'm going to say it one more time so we got it official. Anybody else have anything they want to discuss?
I can tell you something fun we did. This is Ed Stoven.
Yeah.
State Senator Brian Jones approached. State Senator Brian Jones approached SDRC and said he wanted to go off-roading. Can we help set it up? So we lined up some side-by-sides for him and two of his staff and his son. He has a 16-year-old son. And we got six side-by-sides out in the desert. I, of course, was on my motorcycle, but the others were side-by-sides. And we took him around Ocotillo Wells for a couple of hours, and he had a great time. He went up one of the big hills at Shell Reef. Went up the backside and came down the real steep part where he rolled off it and his back tires were in the air for probably 25 or 30 feet. But he had a great time. So Brian is probably one of our best friends up in Sacramento right now. So if we need some help, he is our guy or one of them. Yeah, he's introduced
person.
A couple of bills. I'm on his email list. He's got a bill to make vintage motorcycles and cars, like I think beyond 25 years old, have reduced registration fees. I think when we start looking through all the bills, we'll want to support a couple of his bills.
Yeah, since you brought up bills,
yeah,
there. I believe last year there was a bill to change the required smog date to 1983, and it became a two-year bill, and it's been reintroduced. So from what I've been understand, it became a two-year bill, and I actually found it. I don't have the number with me right now. I'll look it up. But that might be something we want to support also.
Of course, we do.
Heck yeah, I'd support that one.
You know, there's a lot of older Jeeps that would love to be, a lot of older four-wheel drives that would love to be exempt from smog. That would be a big bonus to our membership.
Yes, it would.
Amy, you and I will add that. Find that bill and add it to our list. Ken, would you send that bill number around if you know it?
Yeah, I'll find it and send it around.
We'll put it on the our support list.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic. Okay. I'm glad you could make it. Okay, anybody else? With not hearing from anybody, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Vinny? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. And all those abstained? All right. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. Anybody that could be in Sacramento on Thursday for the meeting, please do. It's very important that we show up on that. That's going to be a very important meeting. All right. Everybody have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk soon. Have a good
night.
Night,
all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Mm-hmm.